Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intentions with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we need to focus on two broad areas of discussion. The first is the US labor market data that came out last week. We had a whole range of updates on labor market conditions, including obviously the main monthly employment report, job openings, wage growth, the unemployment rate, and also the employment compensation index. So a few data points to discuss there. And then the second topic is maybe just an update on what's happening with our electricity situation. The energy availability factor shot up to 64.5%. That's the highest it's been for quite some time. We haven't had load shedding for about a month, and it seems to be having a positive effect on some of our economic activity. So I think it's worthwhile to have a brief discussion, although obviously we don't quite know all of the sub-detail because it's not quite been revealed, but I think nevertheless useful to unpack some of those components. So let's start with an update on the US labor market situation. The April employment report was released last week, and the US created 175,000 jobs during the month. That was below market expectations. I think the market was expecting a gain of about 240,000. And in general, US employment has been growing faster than that for quite some time. And in a bizarre way, this was a pleasing outcome. The reason is that if the labor market situation in the US is incredibly strong, it makes it more difficult for the Fed to get inflation fully under control and therefore start their interest rate cutting cycle. So as soon as the labor market situation starts to weaken, that becomes encouraging from an inflation perspective and therefore from an interest rate perspective. And we saw the market rally after the labor market report was released. In addition, the unemployment rate has moved up to 3.9%. Now, that's still a very low number, but it has been edging up in recent months. And yes, it's not quite at a level that would signal a significant slowdown in economic activity. But the fact that the unemployment rate rose further, again, is encouraging to suggest that labor market conditions are softening. And then the third key component that came out on Friday was a further moderation in wage growth. Wage growth has now slowed to 3.9%. Again, that's still a little bit high. It's higher than where you would ideally want it. I guess under normal circumstances, you would have US wages growing somewhere between 3% and 3.5%. So 3.9 is a bit on the high side, but it has been coming down in recent months. And again, another encouraging signal in terms of inflation and interest rates. If we look at job openings, that fell further during the month. It's still a significantly large number of over 8 million jobs on offer, but it also has been coming down pretty much almost every single month for the last year and a half. And it's getting to a point where it's starting to get closer to the number of people that are unemployed. In other words, the US labor market is moving more in balance. And once it's in balance, that again is more encouraging from an inflation and interest rate perspective. So from our perspective, this was a good set of data. It certainly helps in terms of expectations around an interest rate cut before the end of the year. We've had inflation surprising on the upside in recent months, and I think many people had given up on the prospect of an interest rate cut from the US during the course of this year. I think what this latest labor market data has done is bring back that optionality for the Federal Reserve, where they could well consider a cut before the end of the year. Obviously, you need the data of the coming months to confirm some slowdown in labor market conditions, and I guess also a further moderation in US inflation. And then it's possible that the Federal Reserve could start the interest rate cutting cycle before the end of the year, and that would be encouraging for most economies around the world, including South Africa. So it was a good set of data, although it does speak to a slowdown in the US economy overall. The second topic that I think is worthwhile to discuss is South Africa's electricity position. When I look at the data, we last had load shedding on the 26th of March, which means we haven't had load shedding for more than a month, and it seems to be making a positive difference to the South African economy. Now, we don't have a lot of data to support that view, but we do have the manufacturing PMI index for the month of April. And during April, that index shot up to 54 from 49.2 the month before. And anything over 50 signals expansion. So 54 would argue that manufacturing activity is doing better. And I've got no doubt that some of that relates to a more consistent energy supply. It's logical that if you can keep the lights on, then naturally South Africa's economy should be doing better. We need more data in order to be satisfied that that is going to make a difference over the medium term to South Africa's economic performance. But let's say at this stage it is encouraging that there's a decent relationship between consistent energy supply and better economic activity. So the key question then is, how are we keeping the lights on? What are we doing different? Well, there seems to be a range of factors at play, and not all of this is electioneering. So some of it relates to our investment in solar energy. And from what I understand, the increase in solar energy has lessened the demand on Eskom in a meaningful way, which means that Eskom is then more easily able to avoid load shedding. We have more than 5,000 megawatts of solar energy installed around the country, and as long as we have decent sunshine, that is a benefit for us, and therefore it reduces the burden on Eskom. The second factor, I think, is that we have scaled back the level of maintenance. Now, we've scaled that back relative to the end of last year, certainly relative to December last year, but to be fair, December last year was a level of extremely high maintenance, and that makes sense because it's a time period where there is less energy demand during December. Many factories are closed, people are on leave, and that's a good time to undertake maintenance, and Eskom did just that. So subsequent to December, we have scaled back maintenance. My worry is that the level of maintenance appears to be on the low side. It's not exceptionally low by historical standards, but I'm not sure that that's a good reference point. I think the level of maintenance will have to go up relative to where it is now, because there's always the risk that at some point we have additional breakdowns. Now, Eskom would argue that it's because of the increased maintenance in the past that we're able to benefit from a period of lower maintenance, but I'm not sure that this is sustainable. So my suspicion is that over the coming months, the level of maintenance will go up, and so that will add to the burden on Eskom. The third discussion point always relates to the use of diesel. Now, Eskom is using diesel to drive their open cycle gas turbines, and I think they use pumped storage at the same time. And if there's any sort of emergency, that would be the type of thing they could switch on in order to ease the burden. Now, they would typically use that during the early evening, because that's when there's a natural increase in demand for electricity. Obviously, you don't have the benefit of solar energy, and so it makes sense that if you are going to use your open cycle gas turbines, you would do it then in order to avoid load shedding. Is that sustainable? It all depends on exactly how much you're spending on diesel and relative to your budget, and we don't quite know what those numbers are, but let's assume at face value that at some point we would ideally want to scale back the use of diesel entirely, but in order to get there we would have to have a much better energy position overall. The fourth factor, I think, is simply that we have brought various units back online, particularly Kusile has made good progress in getting the units operating, and we are appearing to get more efficiency out of our coal fleet. And so that, I think, is going a long way to keeping us out of load shedding. And there's no reason to believe that that's going to dramatically change. There are other units at Kusile that still need to come online. And I think in general, there has to be an ongoing improvement in South Africa's overall energy capacity. But at this stage, the mix of data would suggest that our energy position is in a better space than it's been for some time. I don't believe that we're going to be able to avoid load shedding for the remainder of the year. My suspicion is that part of this may well be electioneering, and that post the election you could well see a return of load shedding. And I think it's going to take some time before we're in a position where we can more comfortably be confident that we can avoid load shedding, unless we get a special set of circumstances. So I think what we've got to applaud is the fact that we have made progress. I think that there will always be concerns that we're using some of this for electioneering purposes. But when I look at the array of data out there, I think there is a genuine improvement that is behind the overall electricity position for South Africa. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.